Morning. Good to be with you, beloved. It's always good to be among God's people, especially when we gather around the Lord Jesus Christ to remember Him, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. We proclaim His death until He comes. We do it in the present, and we remember the past, and we anticipate the future until He comes. Let's read from Acts chapter 2. Sometimes we get torn between messages, and I think the fact that today is supposed to be Pentecost Sunday. You know what Pentecost is? It's 50 days after. It's 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know when God instituted those feasts, those seven feasts there in the book of Leviticus, they all have reference to the New Testament, and reference to the church, and especially reference to our Lord Himself. The first feast, the initial feast, was the feast of the Passover, and that feast reminds us of Christ, our Passover, which was sacrificed for us. I'm trying to get it out. Usually turn it on for me. All right. We got a light, so that's good, right? Okay. Yes, the Passover is the feast that God instituted when He delivered His people out of Egypt. And it found its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Passover, who sacrificed for us. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we know that's communion with our Lord. Then we had the Feast of First Fruits, and we did that 50 days ago. The Feast of First Fruits, recognizing the resurrection. That feast reminds us of the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is when He was risen from the dead, He became the first fruits of them that slept. And today we're going to look at Pentecost. This is known also as the Feast of Weeks. And this feast was celebrated 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. And so that's where we're going to read today. And chapter 2 of Acts, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and sojourners of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Pentecost. This feast of beloved, this extraordinary phenomenon ushered in the birth of the church. This is what is known to us as the beginning or the birth of the church, when through the coming of the Holy Spirit, God brought together believers who were fragmented and brought them into a homogeneous body, into a spiritual organism called the church. For the first time, men were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. For the first time, believers were baptized into the body of Christ. For the first time, there's the church of which Jesus Christ is the head. If I go back to the feast that I mentioned, I want to read a couple of verses there so that you can get the connection. In Leviticus in chapter 23, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of of 50 days, it says in verse 15 of chapter 23 of Leviticus, "And he shall count unto you from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto the next day after the 7th Sabbath," so you got your 50 days there, "shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord." The reason why I wanted to read that and the other verses, if you continue, would show a precious truth. In the offering of the first fruits, there was no leaven in that offering, because that offering represented our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no leaven in him, and leaven is a type of sin. When it comes to this offering of the wave loaves, it had to be baked with leaven, because there is sin, there's evil in the church, because that represents the church, and that's the difference between those two offerings. Why one had leaven? Because it represents the church. Why one did not have leaven? Because it represented our Lord. I just wanted to point that out. Now, this special event here, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, the Lord Jesus talked about this. The Lord Jesus mentioned this more than once. He spoke of the time of the promise of the Father that will come. And that promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit. He spoke of the church to Peter after Peter had identified him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said to Peter, "That upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, this is the beginning, the fulfillment of that, the birth of the church, the coming into being of a homogeneous body, of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. Now, the disciples were brought together, and there is the church, the birth of the church. We are told, we are reminded by the apostle that when we come together, and as we did this morning, beloved, we are coming together as the body of Christ. We have that in 1 Corinthians, if you can turn there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Partakers of our Lord, who is the bread of life. So we are made now. We're not many, we're not scattered. We are one body in Christ. That's what happened there at Pentecost, that we read about in Acts chapter 2. That happened. That's the celebration of the inauguration of the church, the body of Christ. And for the first time, as I said before, believers were baptized into the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We can read that together as well. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." One body. He's not divided. "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And that's the church, many members. You and I are members of that church, of that one body. That one body is the church, and Christ is the head. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. God brought the body together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized into the body of Christ. And according to Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, we were sealed. They were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what happened at Pentecost. And that's what happens today when a person comes to know Jesus Christ. Today, if you are saved today, immediately, you are baptized into the body of Christ. This is not an experience on a higher plane that you would experience 2-3 years down the road. When you're born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ. When you're born again, whether you know it or not, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. The babe in Christ, as well as the veteran believer for 40, 50 years, all are sealed by the Spirit of God. All are baptized into the body of Christ. It was a glorious day, and a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles happened. Some are misinterpreted. There was a miracle of everybody understanding the message that day. What happened? They were from different countries and different continents. But when the message was proclaimed by the Galileans, everybody understood them. That's the beginning of tongues that you hear so much about. And it was not some foreign language or even gibberish that you hear people talk about and say, that's speaking in tongues. No, everyone heard the message in their own language, whether you were from Cyrene, or whether you were from Greece, or wherever you were from, you heard the language. You heard the message in your own language. And that's a miracle of the Holy Spirit of God conveying to the hearts of men in the language that they would understand the words of life, the words of truth, the words of the gospel of the grace of God. What a wonderful experience. Of course, the unbeliever, Satan on the sidelines says, these men are crazy. They're drunk. They're drunk. You know, every time God is about to do something great, or God in the midst of doing something great, they're always the critics and says, oh, they're drunk. They're drunk. We think of Hannah. She was praying to the Lord as she saw the mess that was going on in Shiloh with Eli and his sons, and she wanted to do something about it. Moved her heart. She prayed to the Lord, and Eli saw her, and she said, woman, you are drunk. You're drunk this early in the morning. He couldn't see the problems in his own household. He couldn't see the vagabond sons that he had that drove this woman to her knees, because she would go to Shiloh on an annual basis, and she would see the things that are going on there, and she wanted a son that she might give him to the Lord. I always read this with a smile and a little chuckle, but because when after she weaned Samuel and she took him to Shiloh, and the priest came out, Eli, she said to Eli, for this child I prayed. Remember that? For this child I prayed. What a man he became. One of the godliest men I think I can read of in the scriptures. Samuel, that man of God. So she wasn't drunk. These men were not drunk. This was a fulfillment of God's promise, though not in full, but in part of what God had promised of the Spirit coming upon all flesh. The birth of the church, that's what began this great movement, this spiritual organism we call the church. That's what ushered in this dispensation, if you believe in dispensation, I do. The dispensation of the grace of God, or the dispensation of the Spirit of God. This is that dispensation in which you and I live. That happened on the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What men of God that we saw that they manifested such great change. You see the Spirit of God working in men who before this were timid. For instance, Peter, remember him? He was timid. He was afraid. Now, Peter, God has chosen him to be the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. And what a message he proclaimed. The message of the church on Pentecost. Peter stood up, not afraid, not worried about what would happen to him if he takes sides with the Lord. Now he is full of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He stood up in the midst of the Sanhedrin and all those who were present, and he says, let all the house of Israel know. Verse 36, Pentecost, that message, first message. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. Remember the one you crucified, the one you condemned? God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What was he saying? He was saying that Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old Testament. What he was saying is that Jesus of Nazareth The one you condemned, he is your Messiah. He is the anointed, the Christ. On the day of Pentecost, that's what happened. That was the message at Pentecost. The message was that Jesus is the Christ, verse 36, Acts chapter 2. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. That was the message of Pentecost. The one who was crucified is risen. He is risen. He is both Lord and Christ. In fact, as we read on in chapter 2, Peter's message continues that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Therefore, when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The message then is, as it is now, repent. 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 Because that's the essence of salvation. It's repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the message of Pentecost, and that message should not change. The message that you and I are charged to proclaim is the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, this message I have received, and I'm going to deliver it unto you, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Beloved, this is the essence of the gospel that we preach, and I hope we don't shy away from this, the resurrection of our Lord, and also that He is Christ. He is the fulfillment of the messianic promise. He is the Christ. And Paul the Apostle reminded Timothy that that's the message he must stand up for. And that's the message for which he was imprisoned. According to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, we read, charge to Timothy, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, the Pharisees never recognized him as the seed of David. They would never recognize him as such, because they would have to admit that he is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, and they would not recognize him. Others did. Like blind Bartimaeus, when he needed help, what did he say? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He linked him with the Old Testament purview, you see. But the Pharisees never did. But Jesus Christ of the seed of David, that's important, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. No, his disciples didn't come and steal him by night while they slept. That was the lie. That was the lie. The truth was, Paul says, Jesus, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He says, that's the reason I'm in bonds. Verse 9. He says, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Continue to proclaim that message. That message would get through. That message is the only message of salvation, the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. He is risen from the dead. And Paul suffered a lot for that message. But you know, I want to turn you to one of my favorite verses here in the book of Acts, because it is so clear, it's so precious to my own mind and heart. In chapter 17, Now, Paul is not reading from the book of Romans. It wasn't written then. He's not reading from Corinthians. He's not even reading from the gospel. But it says in chapter 17, and Paul, verse 2, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. When you see that, the scriptures, it's referring to the Old Testament. This is the Jewish scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Just think of it. Paul the Apostle went into a Jewish synagogue on the Jewish Sabbath. He opened the Jewish scriptures and affirmed from the Jewish scriptures 2 things. Christ must needs have suffered, that's in their Bible, and risen again from the dead, that's in their Bible, that's in the scriptures. And that this Jesus, the one they condemned, the one they called an imposter, this Jesus is your Messiah. Now, if he didn't have good ground, if it was not written in the scripture, they would have stoned him out of that place. He would have been stoned. But he alleged, he affirmed from their scriptures those 2 great facts. Peter preached the same thing. God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Oh, beloved, I hope we can see the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures. Hope we can see him. For instance, in Psalm 22, that psalm we like to read of the crucifixion, but it also speaks of resurrection. It also speaks of resurrection. And so many other scriptures that we can turn to, beloved, Jewish scriptures. And that's what Paul affirms. So you see, beloved, we need to understand the scriptures, because the Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, told them in no uncertain terms, when they were condemning him, when they were criticizing him, he told them, you search the scriptures. Your scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They are they which testify of me. And on resurrection day, he said to the 2 on the road to Emmaus, he opened to them the scriptures. Said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So, that's the church. That's the beginning of the church. That's the message of the church. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit came that day, and he indwelt the believers. He sealed them. And he put them together as a body, a unified body. And from there on, you have the church. That, you know, the early church, we should pay attention, beloved, because there's so many modern things that are coming up. I believe that if you want to be straight, you have to concerning the church, you gotta look at the book of Acts, and it's important for us to look of the early church. So not only do we have the birth of the church and the message of the church, but we have the practice of the church. What did the church practice? Let's turn to chapter 2 again of Acts. And this is the practice of the church. We didn't make this up. The brethren didn't start this up. This is what the early church did, the very first church. Then they, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, that's Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ and that he is risen from the dead. They that gladly received his word were baptized. They were not baptized before they were believers. They were baptized because they were believers. And all believers should be baptized. You don't be baptized to be saved, but you're baptized because you're saved. And in loving obedience to our Lord. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. One day, 3,000 souls responded to this message, Pentecost. And they continued. This is the practice. And they continued steadfastly. I like that word because it's not haphazardly. It's not when I find the time. It's not when it's convenient to me. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And it's a word a whole lot of people don't like to use, doctrine. That's the teaching. If you don't have the teaching concerning Christ and the church, you have any business preaching. If you're not familiar with the doctrine, you know, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, if you prefer to use teaching instead of doctrine. And in fellowship, they gathered together often. And in breaking of bread, that's what we did this morning. And in prayers and every assembly have these meetings scheduled. To be an assembly, beloved, we need to be involved in all of these. In all of these, this is the practice of the early church, and they continued in them. And I've had to defend certain things. That not that I can defend the Word of God. The Word of God defends itself, but people always want to know, why do you have to have it every week? I never heard them question anything about the ministries too often. Never heard that. Never heard them even criticize the prayer meeting. They don't show up, but they don't criticize it. It's essential because they want the saints to pray for them. When it comes to the breaking of bread, they seem to have a problem with that. Why do you do it so often? I don't know if I said this before, but it's worth repeating. I'm traveling every Lord's Day, and so I listen to Ravi Zacharias on the radio. He was talking about a meeting he was in, and he was talking about this very subject, the breaking of bread, and some brother got up in the audience, and he said, see, we don't do it every week. We don't want it to seem commonplace. We want it to be special, so we don't do it too often. And Ravi said, he asked him, do you feel the same way about the offering? I got this from Ravi, from the offering. He said there was silence, like the half an hour silence in heaven. He says, he couldn't answer that question. Do you feel the same way? Why do we want to eliminate that which Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me? Why do we want to push it off and push it off? Because the devil don't want us to be occupied with him. I don't think of a better time to be occupied with our Redeemer. Reminding us what he did on the cross. Reminding us of the sacrifice that he offered. And helping us to answer the question, why? Why? Oh, the apostle says, because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I want to remember that. The church started out that way. And the early church, later on in the same book of Acts, they met together on the first day of the week to break bread. It seemed that's a practice that we can carry on, beloved, because the Lord Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The practice of the church. All right, let's do one more. We got to do the mission of the church. The Lord Jesus knew that his church would be formed. It would be inaugurated on the day of Pentecost. He told them that this is the promise of my Father. That's the promise of the Father. He says that I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, he will come. The Father will send him in my name. He will come. And when he has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. There are too many man-made stuff today that we are forgetting the truth of the Scriptures, the truth that the Spirit of God taught, and that the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught. The mission of the church is simple, and we all know what it is. Matthew 28. He didn't send us to change all societies. He didn't send us to put down certain things. He sent us to preach the gospel. In Matthew 28 and verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain that where Jesus had appointed unto them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. That's our mission. It's not optional. That mission impossible. Your mission, should you decide to accept it. No. And this is the mission of the church. You and I are charged. According to Mark chapter 16, the other part of this, verse 15 says, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we could expand on those precious truths. He that believeth and is baptized. You notice the order. First you believe, and you're baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Not he that's not baptized, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. That's our mission. That's our mission. That's our charge, beloved. That's what the Lord has sent us to do. And Paul, as he charged young Timothy, he said, remember this, whatever you proclaim, and the gospel must be clear, but make sure that this truth is clear, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So I thought I would share these thoughts with you, beloved, as we think of Pentecost Sunday. I don't want to elaborate on the tongue situation. I think I said enough. I don't want to beat that point on the head. But I just want us to understand what happened on the day of Pentecost and what the beginning of tongues was that time. What the Bible refers to as speaking in tongues, every man heard the gospel in their own language. When it should be clear to all that, as it was to the early church, at least to James, who was a leader of the church in Jerusalem, that being a member of the body of Christ doesn't mean that believing Gentiles should become Jewish proselytes. That's not what it's about. The purpose of God is not to turn the Gentiles into Jews, but rather to save mankind, whether Jew or Gentile. Excuse me. And so, some of the Jewish believers did not get this, and so they had a delegation, and I'm going to close with this, and said unto the church at Jerusalem, and find out, we want an answer, we want a definitive answer on the question. We want to know what's God's purpose. And so he responded in Acts chapter 15 and says, and after they had held their peace, verse 13, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, and that's Simon Peter. That's Simon Peter. The same Simon Peter who spoke on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter has declared how God first did visit the nations. You know all those nations? And his purpose, to take out of them a people for his name. That's God's purpose. To take out of the nations. And we always mention that verse in Revelation where he brings men from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He's made us a kingdom of priests. To this degree, the words of the prophets, as it is written, and so on. But that's it. God's purpose in continuing his church here on this earth is that he is visiting all the nations and he is taking out of them a people for his name. So when the church was first formed in Antioch, they call them Christ ones, Christians. I hope this helped on this Pentecost Sunday. Remember, Pentecost means 50 days after. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. We thank thee for his death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection. We thank thee for his promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who came and who spoke of him. He didn't speak of himself. He spoke of Christ. He it is who takes of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. We thank thee for what we have gleaned from him. We pray that we will continue to lean on him and to look to him for guidance and for direction in all things. We thank thee for the saints here. We thank thee for their faithfulness to thy word. We pray for all those who are sick, and we ask for your healing touch on their bodies and minds. Now we ask thy blessing as we part, Lord. Watch over us and take us to respective homes in peace and in safety. And may we rejoice in the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells with us. He will not depart from us. We pray for grace that we will not grieve him and we will not quench him. We pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.